Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're taking you up till noon, then we'll hand it off to D-Lo and Casey. 49ers lose. Raiders lose. Yuck. Just a bad Sunday. Not a fun day.
No. Yeah, very very odd. I don't know. There are some good games. I definitely had a good time like sitting and watching football. I was not happy at all with watching the end of the Niners game or watching Patrick Mahomes just not look like Patrick Mahomes still.
I still feel like every game, save for Minnesota. Minnesota beat the hell out of the Texans. You thought Minnesota stuck it to the Niners.
Oh, yeah.
What they did to Houston was insane.
Yeah.
34-7 in the final there. But, like, the Giants and the Browns, yuck. That was close, but yuck.
Mm-hmm.
Indy and Chicago, close, but yuck.
Oh, no, that was
Caleb
hideous.
Williams throwing it 52 times, by the way.
You know what, though?
Launch Matt Eberflus into the sun.
Yeah, but on occasion, sometimes I think what you need to do is let a kid just go. Just, hey, look, we're not going to do this thing that we're doing with Malik Willis where please don't cost us a game. Please don't cost us a game. You know, that's what I feel like every single time he drops back, they've told him, if you have any question at all, then take off running, right?
Yeah, like, just please, do it. Yeah.
Please don't cost us a game.
Sure.
Every once in a while, if you're a up-and-coming quarterback and you know how much talent he has, you're like, sling it, man. Just drop back and stop getting sacked, start getting comfortable in the pocket, and just sling the ball. And that's what I kind of felt like. And I'm with you. Like, I think their coach is horrible. But, yeah. Like, I'm okay because he made some throws where you're like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no, he's clearly a talented dude. Like, I'm in on Caleb Williams still. But just, it was never like, I guess late in the game they were down 12, so you gotta start airing it out then. But it was never like, oh my God, there's no way they're coming back. They have to throw. Like, they could have. I think they could have just utilized the run game more. But like Philly and New Orleans, yuck.
Oh,
shout out to Philly's defense.
Yeah, it was not fun to watch.
Pittsburgh and the Chargers watched 0 seconds of that game on purpose.
No.
Denver beat Tampa Bay. Gross. You talked about Green Bay beating Tennessee. Tennessee stinks. We'll get to them later.
Yep.
Carolina, Vegas, no. Seattle beating Miami with no Tua, whatever. Detroit, Arizona, I think pretty good game. Baltimore, Dallas, not nearly as close as the 3-point final score. Dallas got like a touchdown, then an onside kick and a touchdown.
Oh, no, that was just intentionally to beat me in fantasy football with Dak Prescott.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Anyways.
We got beaten week one by, was it Kamara with four touchdowns? No, week two. Week two is Kamara, four touchdowns, right?
Yeah.
40 points.
Yeah.
Week one was Richardson going for like 28.
Oh.
And like that guy will probably never score 28 points again in his fantasy football history.
He might just because of his athleticism, but man.
Maybe.
10 of 20?
You know,
with one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, you brought up the Vikings Texans game.
Yeah,
the Vikings are just whatever they're doing defensively.
They're awesome right now.
They're like scatterbraining quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. The quarterbacks can't figure out what's happening. We saw it with Purdy last week, and was like, okay, you know what's going on here, Brock. Mm-hmm. And then you see it with C.J. Stroud, where C.J. Stroud, like, they pan him on the sidelines and he's just got like this befuddled look. You're like, mm-hmm. What in the world just happened? And they're doing something different and just disrupting everything. It's wild.
Their ability to, because Brian Flores is going to blitz. If there's one thing Brian Flores is going to do, it's blitz a quarterback, right? And we'll get back to the Niners here in a second. But mm-hmm. I think what separates Minnesota right now is that not only can they blitz their tails off and get after your quarterback, but even when they don't blitz and they drop 7 or 8 into coverage, they have the pass rushers to continue to affect your quarterback.
Yeah.
Where, okay, they're reading blitz. They got that. Oh, they dropped out. Okay, now I got to figure out exactly what's happening post-snap. oh, but hey, here's Jonathan Grenard flying around the corner. I have to speed up my process now. And it's just, I thought made Brock Purdy super indecisive. It obviously, CJ Stroud played one of the worst games of his career. I think Minnesota's legitimately good. I think Minnesota can really play.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a weird, they had 20 quarterback pressures yesterday from 10 different people.
Wow. I think the only question you had,
guys all had pressures.
The only question you had going into the season was whether Sam Darnold was any good at all and if he could get the ball to these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And through 3 weeks, he's like, hey, I'm that dude.
He sure is.
Yeah. I mean, he has been absolutely spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
On the season, he's completing 67.9% of his passes.
Nice.
He's got 8 touchdowns. 657 yards. He's only got 2 picks. Yeah, man, he's out there. And if you looked at their schedule before week one, you would have thought, okay, probably 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to beat the Giants, but then they had the Niners and the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
And like 3-0 is crazy with that schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because at some point, their schedule is going to lighten up. I mean, I was looking at the Steelers' schedule earlier, and it's like they're scheduled the first half of the season is so cupcake,
mm-hmm.
that they're going to have like their near 500 record like super quick because they started 3-0.
Right.
Now they're just going to coast. I mean, I'm not going to coast because they're not very good, but they're still going to have they're going to get a bunch of wins because they're not playing anyone. So really interesting.
The Vikings have the Packers and Jets going into their bye week. Then they get the Lions coming out of their bye week. Then they're at the Rams, home Colts, at Jags, at Tennessee, at Chicago, home Cardinals, home Falcons, home Bears. Again, man, there's going to be a real chance for them to stack up a ton of wins here.
Yeah. I mean, and I was looking at the same with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh plays at the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Then they play the Cowboys at home, at Raiders, then the Jets and Giants to finish before the bye week. So the first 8 weeks of the season, I mean, 6-2 is sitting right there for him. 7-1 is sitting right there for him.
Yeah, man.
And then they come out of the break with the Commanders. You're like, okay, they got the Browns twice still. I don't know. Then it gets really difficult, and they're going to lose a whole bunch of games in a row, and we'll see if they can hold on and get that 500 record again.
That's the big difference in 3-0 teams, right? Buffalo could be 3-0 after tonight, but you just painted the picture perfectly. The Steelers are 3-0, but I'm looking at them sideways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but but we'll look at them sideways when they're 6-0.
All credit to the Steelers for winning the games.
Yeah.
I think that's an important part of this. You got to play the games that you have in front of you, and you got to win them. That's the point of the sport. How you do it doesn't matter. But when you start projecting out and what are these teams going to look like by the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
I'm not buying the Steelers as a serious contender. I am very much, obviously, Kansas City 3-0, you're buying them as a serious contender. Minnesota, I think you have to buy them right now.
Yeah.
They're way too good at everything to think, oh, this is flash in the pan, this is fake.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get there. But anyways, Brock Purdy, as we get back to this Niners debacle against the Rams. He wasn't perfect yesterday. Thought he missed location on a couple of throws. I thought not throwing the deep ball to Ayuk late in the game where Ayuk got in behind the Rams defense. And it wasn't even like you needed to make a tight window deep throw. You just needed to get it in the air and let him run under it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's Brock Purdy not trusting himself in that moment or not wanting to stop the clock or whatever it was. You gotta make that throw, man.
I think there's a possibility, like, he may have thought, like, maybe the safety was deking him.
Maybe.
Because the safety was turned one way, and mm-hmm. you could see how he could have rotated around.
Maybe.
But if you would have gone over the top, the guy would have had way too far to travel.
It was there.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
Sure.
No, I think so, too.
But finishes the game 22 of 30, 292 yards, 3 touchdowns, made a couple of excellent throws.
Mm-hmm.
I went into Sunday with questions about how Brock Purdy could operate with this version of the 49ers offense, and the Rams defense isn't good, to be fully clear, but Brock Purdy cooked them in a way that I think a good quarterback should cook a bad defense. And if Ronnie Bell makes that catch down the right sideline, the stat line looks even better. And the 49ers are probably walking out with a win. And Brock Purdy and Juwan Jennings are the two huge stories from the day.
Oh, yeah.
So I know that there are going to be people who are like, oh, it's the Rams defense and he still sucks. And this, and that's fine. For me, what I needed to see, I saw yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't have... We've talked so much about all the things that went wrong yesterday. Brock Purdy's performance was the very, very bottom of the list of things that, I have to complain about. I thought he was awesome.
No, I think so too. And if you would have, if Ronnie Bell would have caught that ball, what would we say, 31 yards, and that's without any run after the catch, so 31 yards, he'd be leading the league in passing yards on the season. He's only 9 behind Dak Prescott. And I feel like the last couple of weeks, we could look at just really bad drops, really bad plays where if Ayuk catches a touchdown in week one in the corner of the end zone or the quick slant, Brock Purdy could already be at 1,000 yards passing through 3 weeks. Yep. And not only that, but Mason is, what, second in the league in rushing?
Yeah.
Second in the league in rushing. He's 27 yards behind Saquon, who, again, Saquon has been incredible to watch.
Yeah.
The revitalization of Saquon Barkley is just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, got him on a good team.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Amazing. Yeah, but you're worried, like, at 27, does he still have any juice left?
And he's got juice.
He does. He's got the juice.
Yeah, what a heck of a game for him. You mentioned Jordan Mason. I'm having a really hard time with the Jordan Mason thing because while he's been really freaking good, it's so clear the Niners are missing that explosive play element in their run game. His longest run of the year, I believe, is 24 yards.
24, for sure.
Christian McCaffrey, through 2 weeks last year, had 3 runs longer than that.
Yeah.
And I think Jordan Mason has been really good, and I think the Niners can more than survive with him instead of Christian McCaffrey. But if he's not going to contribute in the passing game, and if he's not going to contribute as a receiver, I should say, he's done a nice job pass blocking, which is contributing in the passing game.
Yes.
If he's not going to contribute as a pass catcher and he's not generating explosive plays in the run game, I think that's going to long term be a problem. And it's a big part of the reason that you look at Christian McCaffrey and go, man, he is going to be, this is why he's a difference maker. This is why Christian McCaffrey matters so much, is because the Niners just really miss those two things that he brings to the table.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from how good Christian McCaffrey is. Yeah. I think McCaffrey is, you know, one of the top 5 players in the NFL right now. And the 49ers are a much better team with him. But that doesn't mean that Jordan Mason shouldn't be on the field running like 8 to 10 rushing plays from here on out. I mean, he showed you how good he can be. He's, again, second in the league in rushing yards right now. You know, 2 huge 100-yard games already, and then 77 yards this last week. And he could have had more, but again, penalties took away a couple of yards here and there.
Yep.
I get the need for him to have the big play, but I also feel like right now the 49ers offense, teams are keying on taking away the middle of the field because they're so banged up, and because McCaffrey's not there, and because Debo's not there, and you're not nearly as tricky. I mean, you can't do an end around right now. And I don't know why Cowing must just not be.
He must just be terrible in practice.
He must really not have a head on his shoulders early in his career where he's figuring things out.
Yeah, for sure.
Because if not, why not run him around the edge? Because it limits what your offense is doing. And then Saubert as opposed to Kittle, I mean, there's a bit of a downgrade there. I mean, you're watching a guy who's not a pass catcher at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it really, if you look at some of the positions that they're struggling with injuries, the replacements, because they are so good, because you got to pay a guy $30 million to not catch a bunch of passes, and you're paying another guy $35 million who can't seem to get to the quarterback anymore. That's where you see it. You see it that you have this bad linebacker who can't track and is taking bad routes the whole time and gets a horrendous PI in a crucial moment of the game, it's because you can't pay the extra guy to, you know, you can't pay someone better. And that's where depth comes into play. And it's why, again, your right tackle isn't great. You can't go out and get a better right tackle. You can't go get a better center because you're all your money's in your specialty players. Well, these dudes, they've got to step up and be there. And when you lose two or three of them, I mean, they're playing without three guys who make a ton of money that are in the top 10 in their position, you know, the top paid running back, top five tight end, and then Debo's probably top seven at this point, maybe eight as far as receivers. That's a lot of money sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah. And I totally, just to be clear, once Christian McCaffrey's back, I very much advocate for Jordan Mason carries.
Oh, yeah.
It's just right now, when I watch the Niners offense, it's like, man, that's just the, as good as he is, like that's the one thing you would love to see is, hey, can you break a 40-yarder? Can you really just flip the field in the run game and not make everything so laborious offensively? But that's why Christian McCaffrey gets paid. That's why Christian McCaffrey matters so much. So,
not having that guy's big, though, because in the last couple of years, Elijah Mitchell or Mostert, those guys had that big play capability. So when you didn't have your star, you still had a guy who could pop off for some crazy run. And you also had Debo who could get that crazy run.
Yep. And that's why I think they fed Garendo five times yesterday for 19 yards. And he had the one carry that on the Kyle Juszczyk hold that we talked so much about. But he has that home run speed. And that's why I think they're trying to really get him integrated into the offense. Because even if he's not going to do between the tackle stuff, it's, hey, can you give him five shots a game to get to the edge and break a big run? That's what I really think you're going to start seeing with him.
I thought Shanahan showed a lot of faith in him, too, because he went to him late.
Yes.
He went to him in a crucial time where I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And it's like, well, we got to give it to him at some point.
Yep.
We got to, we got to give him an opportunity at some point.
Man. All right. I want to get to this text you sent me yesterday. Uh-oh. I have a couple of guys I want to cancel from the Niners, but you have somebody you want to cancel from the Titans.
Oh, yeah. I'm so done watching Will Levis play. I mean, that dude is just not good at all. And I think we all got, like, he was fun. Like, oh, look, he's fun. Oh, no, he's not fun. He's bad.
He's fun in the bad way.
Well, I mean, he's got two pick sixes to start the season. Both of them were so egregious, just horrendous, horrendous plays. And you're just watching a quarterback who just, maybe there's some way that he's got something, but I don't know. And I'm also like, I like watching it going through and finding like the history of the game you know, where guys rank and all that stuff. Do you know how close DeAndre Hopkins is to being like one of the great wide receivers of all time? Like
if he
plays two more years and has roughly 1,000 yards in each year, he'll be in the top 10 wide receivers yards wise of all time. Like he'll pass, I think it's Isaac Bruce. Like he's right, or Torrey Holt, one of the two.
Yeah.
Like right at number 10.
He's been really good for a long time.
Yeah, he's been really good. And the fact that he just can't find that guy like in really crucial situations, and then he makes like some of the most bonehead plays where you just put your hands up and they pan to him and he takes his helmet off and like these quizzical looks, it's like, man, that was horrible. If you didn't see the cornerback just sitting on your out route.
On that on the pick six?
The pick six. If you, like, everyone in America saw it like, oh, he's not going to make that. Oh, bro.
Like, as the ball was floating, it's like, uh-oh.
Oh.
That's not good.
Yeah, and maybe it's just, like, my hatred for watching Daniel Jones play football that's causing this because Daniel Jones is, like, the king of the pick six. But it's just so, like, what is happening? Like the horrific plays where you actually have a shot in a game and then you do something so egregious to cost your team any chance. That's where I get frustrated with players.
Yeah. And with Levis, it's going to be interesting over these next few weeks because you mentioned it last year. You watched and you went, man, he's got a little something.
Yeah.
And I can't decide if these are plays where, hey, you know what? He just needs to play more football.
Maybe.
These are just growing pains. So I'm interested to see how this goes over the next couple of weeks, because there's definitely a chance that these aren't just growing pains and he's just a player who, when things break down and you need your quarterback to have poise,
yeah,
and you need your quarterback to just not turn the ball over, to just make the right play. I think that's something that is so valuable with quarterback play that gets overlooked, is just not giving the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
And just being willing to make the safe play. It's very clear Will Levis isn't doing that. And oh, yeah. I don't know if that's something that he'll learn eventually or not, but right now it doesn't look good. Because we have 3 weeks in a row where there's viral pictures of him doing something dumb on the internet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the pick six that he did in the that cost him the game against the Bears.
What is he
egregious.
Like, backhanded, just floating it to nowhere.
Just so bad. So two picks, but he also 8 sacks. And if you're going to take 8 sacks, 8 sacks for 56 yards, he's averaging 7 yards a sack.
Yeah, it's not like he's
a -7
running, like, right up near the line.
What are we doing, man? Yeah, he's just not good. And hey, look, there's no other option there, but you know,
not turning on a Viking or a Titans game anytime soon.
No, I'm not turning on. No. Not anymore.
Will Levis is canceled by the insiders.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Will Levis. Ronnie Bell, obviously. Ronnie Bell might get canceled by the 49ers this week. The player that we've not talked a lot about, you brought him up a little bit ago, Devondre Campbell.
Oh, my gosh.
I am finished watching Devondre Campbell play football. I didn't understand. I understood signing him. Like, yeah, you need a linebacker, you're a good veteran.
Just some depth. You're
missing Dre Greenlaw, okay. But then just handing him the starting... So in the Niners defense, in their base defense, there's the Mike linebacker, that's Fred Warner in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Will linebacker, which is a weak side linebacker. He's on the field for all three downs. And there's the Sam linebacker, the strong side linebacker, who's only on the field in base, like run situations, basically.
Got it.
The Sam linebacker's on the field like something like 15% of the time. It's not a huge position. But the Will linebacker is a three-down player. That is Dre Greenlaw's spot, right? They signed Devondre Campbell to replace Dre Greenlaw, and that was it. Signed, sealed, delivered. There was no competition. There was never any question. There was never any, let's see what it looks like with D. Winters or Jalen Graham or Curtis Robinson. These are all backup linebackers who are still or not with the 49ers. No chances for those guys to secure that Will linebacker spot. It was just handed to Devondre Campbell, who's old and washed. And it was clear when he was in Green Bay. It's like, okay, maybe getting him Fred Warner makes it getting him next to Fred Warner helps a little bit. But dude, it is killing the 49ers right now.
We can
talk about the pass rush for sure. It needs to be better, no doubt. Leonard Floyd, 1 pressure in the last 2 games. That's not good enough. That's not going to cut it. Yeter Gross-Matos didn't do anything yesterday. He was one of their other defensive end signings. Didn't do anything yesterday.
Yep.
Nick Bosa at some point take over a game. I watched TJ Watt do it. I watched Miles Garrett do it. I watched Micah Parsons do it. I watched Max Crosby do it. I watched Aiden Hutchinson do it. I watched all these dudes do that. I need Nick Bosa to take over one game.
One.
2019, I will say, Super Bowl 2019, he was awesome. Mm-hmm. He was so freaking good in that game. Didn't matter. But can I, on one of the last couple of drives for the Rams, can I get 97 getting the quarterback on the ground? Like, no doubt. All that stuff matters, for sure. Travarius Ward, we talked about his mistake.
Yeah.
I think Jair Brown's been out of position a couple times. Talano Hufanga's just coming back. But Devondre Campbell is so regularly 3 steps late on runs to the edge. He's getting hung up on blocks. He's late in coverage. He's getting dusted for a touchdown by Kyren Williams. It's just, he's not it. He has no juice. And the 49ers have been so good in that second level over the last few years, really since Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner became that duo in the middle of the field.
It's more like the last 15 years of greatness in the middle of the field.
Yeah. No,
before then, it was like, was Bowman.
Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman. Yep.
Yeah, and Willis. Like, yeah. Yeah.
And then they those two guys leave, and it's Fred Warner in 2018.
Yeah.
And Fred Warner's just awesome off the rip. Oh, and then here comes Dre Greenlaw in 2019. And man, look at him. And it's that duo, right? And they just control. So all those easy throws you were seeing Matt Stafford get yesterday, mm-hmm. were because the Niners just couldn't cover in the second level. And those are the throws they've been so good at taking away. Well, now quarterback, has to hang on to it for an extra beat. Oh, pass rush gets home. I know the pass rush matters so much, but dude, that inability right now to take away the middle of the field just because they lack the athleticism there is killing them.
No, I totally agree. That dude has no swivel in the hips at all.
No juice.
No, it is in line, and that's all he can do. And if you're not right in line with him,
nope,
he is not doing anything. I mean, that PI was just so bad.
Egregious. It was terrible. Just we didn't even talk about it among the bad plays because I just don't expect Evandre Campbell to make that play.
Yeah, just such a bad play in such a crucial moment. Just like, man, turn your head. That's all you had to do. Turn your head.
You got flambéed by Colby Parkinson.
Yeah.
Colby Parkinson, you got dusted. Evandre Campbell's got to go, dog.
Yeah.
If the Niners are going to be serious with Dre Greenlaw out, they need more athleticism there. Would not shock me if D. Winters, once he's healthy, gets a crack at starting next to Fred Warner. We're a little bit late for a break. We're going to do that. We'll get around the NFL scoreboard a little bit. We got to recap Mad Props. Tons to do in the final segment coming up on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I haven't even mentioned. Get in on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Got about 10 minutes left. If you want to sound off on anything that happened around the NFL schedule this week, doesn't even have to be Niners or Raiders. Vent about something in the NFL, call the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. That's 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. I didn't print out the whole rundown. I'm a segment short.
We're missing? Oh.
Yeah. We were at 3 pages today. I only printed the first 2.
Oh, Kyle trying to save paper.
That's my bad. Saving trees. Hey, Jesse, are you watching? Can you hear me right now? I can't tell if he's talking to somebody or if he's eating. I wanted to get Jesse in here for Mad Props because he did Mad Props this week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go knock on the window. I'm going to go get it. Oh, hey, is he looking? All right, he's going to come in here.
All right.
Jesse's going to come in for Mad Props. James was out last week, so I sent James the Mad Props screenshot and said, hey, make your picks. And you did, expeditiously.
I just used a green, yellow highlighter
on
the picture.
It was brilliant
and just circled,
by you.
Circled.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Got the message across and got it back quickly. Jesse, get in here. We're going to do some Mad Props. And since Jesse was here for you, I had him pick. And so for the first time this season, we had a guest picker. I'm going to have to decide how to do this standings-wise.
Oh.
With the guest pickers.
All right.
But
We'll get. Maybe we just go off of win percentage.
Yeah, maybe that'll be the move. Jesse Tapia in the building, producer for D'Lo and KC.
What's up, everybody? My football team stinks.
I'm so sorry.
Dude, that was tough. Do not watch next Monday, by the way. They play the Titans.
Yeah.
Whatever else is going on.
It's Monday night, too.
Yeah, 4:30 p.m., I believe.
You know the answer? Ryan Tannehill against his former team. Think of the drama!
James, I'm desperate.
The drama!
I think Schefter said today they're looking, options are Zach Wilson, Russell Wilson, or Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Yeah, DTR. Big fan of him.
Yeah, let's go Celtics.
When's Celtics media day?
think a week and a half from now. I'm going to have Charlie send me out there.
Wild.
All right, let's get to Mad Props here.
It's time for Mad Props. 2 games, 2 props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
Yeah, so with no football, we do with no basketball, we do 2 football games. We went Niner game and Raider game. We make up 2 props, we pit them against each other, and we have to pick which number lands higher. So the first one, Juwan Jennings receiving yards or Raiders rushing yards? That was the Mad Prop. Jesse and James, you guys both went Juwan Jennings receiving yards.
Shout out Juwan Jennings. You want me in my fantasy game this week.
Shout out to you for starting him. I was no help to you when you asked, by the way. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you were kind of like, I don't know. I was like, all right, Kyle, that helps.
I didn't start. I got told by our fantasy expert to start Calvin Ridley over Juwan Jennings.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
1.9 points. Anyways, the Las Vegas Raiders continue to struggle rushing the football. 16 carries, 55 yards. Of course, Juwan Jennings, 175 receiving yards. An easy W for you guys there and a big-time L for me. 3 weeks in a row, we have a number that is bang on the number. Big shout-out to me for making these up. Fred Warner tackles or Brock Bowers targets? Jesse and I went Brock Bowers. James, you went Fred Warner. We had four apiece. We had four apiece, boys. Tough scene for Fred Warner.
Yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't sound too great for...
No, one of the best, one of the worst games Fred Warner's ever played on Sunday in L.A., but I'm not going to drag Fred Warner because he's usually...
to be honest, I feel like that's a win for the Brock Bowers pick right there. Fred Warner having four tackles is pretty insane.
Wait, what do you mean?
You said those Brock Bowers targets or Fred Warner tackles, right?
Yeah, they were both number four.
Yeah, I say give that to us. Like, Fred having four tackles is a loss in itself right there.
No, it's a tie for sure. 49ers Rams total points or Jacoby Myers receiving yards. The final total in the 49ers Rams game, 51 points. Jacoby Myers eclipsed that with 62 receiving yards. Jesse and I took Jacoby Myers. James, you went 49ers Rams total points. Jesse and I get the W on that one.
I was done in by Aiden O'Connell stepping on the field. As soon as he stepped on the field, Jacoby Myers. Hey, where's my security blanket? Boom, boom, boom.
Like, you also might have been done in by a couple of drop passes, but
yeah,
you know. Next one, we had Eric Saubert, who started for George Kittle. Eric Saubert catches or Max Crosby sacks. Eric Saubert, just two catches. I had him in this one. You guys went Max Crosby. Max Crosby shut out by the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Raiders.
Oof, that's tough.
It's horrible.
Is Max Crosby a product of Malcolm Kuntz? Maybe.
Oh.
Let's talk about him.
Too early to tell. Next one, we had Brock Purdy pass attempts or Raiders total points. I thought the Raiders would score on the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, like I said.
Tough scene for me.
That was tough from the Raiders. I'll never trust you guys again.
Jesse and James, you guys both went Brock Purdy pass attempts. Brock Purdy, 30 pass attempts, 22 points for the Raiders. You guys get the W there. A big fat L for me. And the last one. It all comes down to this. We're all tied up. Jake Moody field goals or Raiders touchdowns allowed. Jesse and I both thought Jake Moody would kick a couple field goals. Yeah, Panthers might score a couple touchdowns, but we like Jake Moody to boot the ball through the uprights more times than the Raiders allow touchdowns. Alas, the Raiders allow four touchdowns. Four touchdowns.
Four
touchdowns. Just one field goal for Jake Moody. Could have been two. Still would have fallen short. James, you get the W, and you and Jesse tie for the week. You guys both finish it 3-2-1. I am 2-3-1. So for the season, James, you are 8-7-3. I'm 9-6-3. And our guest picker, 3-2-1.
There we go. Shout out to the guest pickers, whoever it may be.
It's probably just going to be you most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe you guys have Faraz on a Friday do it or something. I don't know.
That might be fun.
Well, also, if we get Joe, maybe we...
Maybe Joe. I'm going to need Joe to run the segment, though. This is much easier when there's a producer running the segment, and I'm not trying to do all of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can imagine.
No, so it'll probably be Jesse most of the time. We might just turn guest picker into Jess picker.
That works.
Oh.
Yeah.
There it is.
All right, well, and guys, enjoy you guys' football season. I'll see you guys next time.
Are you just punting on the Dolphins?
It's
just over.
Ask me when Tua comes back.
And they're 0-6?
That's the thing. Like, I don't know. Like, we'll see when Tua's back or whatever. That was disgusting. Skylar Thompson, like, you've been the backup for 3 years and that's what you did.
Can we stop sharing the photo of Braxton Berrios' ass, by the way?
Yeah, I'm not really.
I'm so uncomfortable with that. Did you see this?
I missed it.
It was pretty gross.
Braxton Berrios got tackled and his pants came like, it wasn't like, a little bit.
Oh,
the whole hairy thing.
Yes.
And people are posting, it's like, wow, what
I don't know why you guys keep retweeting that and like, all that. Like, hey, stop, it's gross.
It's disgusting. I don't want to see this.
Oh, that's not good.
Is that like funny in the moment? Like, oh my God, his pants fell down. Like, yeah, I don't need to see the still image. It's disgusting. Wow. Anyways. I'm sorry, Jesse.
Chester DeRozan Jackson puts that message in the chat. The Dolphins punted on Jesse. I think so. They punted on me.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they can't score, so.
That's tough.
Makes sense that they're punting.
Yeah. Shout out to the Seahawks, I guess. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Thanks, Jesse. Jesse Tapia. You can hear him from noon to four with D'Lo and KC. He is our guest picker. I think I'm just going to have Jesse be the guest picker all year.
Okay.
The bit is going to be that it's a guest picker, but it's always going to be Jesse.
Okay.
That's going to be the running bit. Just so everybody's in on it.
I'm here for it.
We talked a little bit about the Vikings Texans game. Let's rip through these games real quick. Giants Browns, anything from that one?
Yeah, Neighbors.
Malik Neighbors is good.
And
also, Deshaun Watson stinks, bro.
He's just horrible.
And it sucks for the Browns that they're committed to him, but you know what? You reap what you sow, you know?
Yeah.
Colts, Bears.
Oh, it's just hideous football.
So bad. I got nothing for you.
Yeah, that like bad quarterback play exemplified, just like young, inexperienced quarterback play is just everywhere in the league right now. And that game right there was just like, oh, yep. Oh no.
Vikings, Texans, we talked about this earlier. Vikings are good, man.
Yeah, they might be the team right now that's playing the best in the NFL.
I called Kevin O'Connell a top five coach last week, and I feel so good about it right now.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think my top five, Andy Reid, in no order.
Yeah.
Andy Reid, Sean McVay, Kevin O'Connell, Matt LaFleur. Last week I said Kyle Shanahan.
Mm.
But I'm not, I don't know how great I feel about that.
Yeah.
It's got to be like Mike Tomlin's got to go there now, right?
I don't know.
Steelers at 3-0?
They haven't played anybody. I don't know. Their schedule's light. I mean,
I feel really good about that top four, though.
When they're like 7-1, I still can be like,
Sean McDermott, maybe?
I don't know. I think you still have to have Shanahan there. I mean, he just had a.
I guess the track record's good enough.
His number three wide receiver just had 11 catches for 175 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
His backup running back is second in the NFL. And
if you want to throw I don't hate it if you want to throw Dan Campbell there.
Yeah.
I don't hate it if you want to put John Harbaugh in there.
Okay. Yeah, I really like John Harbaugh.
I think that's all. I think
he's a strong coach.
I think that's it right now. But I feel really good about the Kevin O'Connell, Matt LaFleur top five. I feel so freaking good about that.
Yeah.
Eagles beat the Saints 15-12. Classic close game that wasn't a good game.
No, it's just like ugly. It's just horrible football.
Yeah. I think both teams are better than what they were yesterday. I just think that was two teams not being great.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I also was a little worried about, you know, whether Carr would hold up to the defensive, you know, the Philly defense, but then like we went back to week one where Philly's defense was just non-existent and we got another good game there with Philly where Philly was in like a back and forth game, but the whole time you're thinking this isn't really sustainable or good football at all.
Yeah.
And you know, what was that against, let's see. The Green Bay game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I expected more out of the Saints.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't think they were going to score 40 points a game all year. But more than 12. And you said it, dude. This is the problem with Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Did anyone in America think that he was leading a game-winning touchdown drive there?
No.
I don't even think the most ardent Derek Carr fan was confident in that.
Yeah.
And it ends on a not-so-great interception. Steelers, Chargers, I don't want to say anything about this game. I have nothing. Steelers 20, Chargers 10. Yeah. Justin Fields is 3-0. Salute to Justin Fields. From the box score, it looks like he wasn't bad yesterday. I know Justin Herbert's dealing with an injury.
It feels like Herbert is just going to continuously have injury problems. Like he looks like a guy who maybe, I mean, you have some quarterbacks that are just so tough.
Mm-hmm.
And then other guys are like, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to skip a bunch of these as we're getting ready for the handoff. Lions 20, Cardinals 13. This, to me, the Cardinals are legit. I think the Cardinals are good.
I think they are, too.
Or at least going to be hard to beat.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to fight every game. And I kind of felt like that's who they were last year, too, early on. They were like, they weren't good and they kept losing, but they at least put up a good fight.
Yeah.
And I think this year, like, they have a mentality, like we've talked about, like the Memphis Grizzlies mentality where, you know, they're always going to make you play it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's welcome in Damian Barling for the handoff. D'Lo and KC. Just D'Lo today, right?
Just D'Lo today.
Just D'Lo, no KC today. Coming up in about 10
minutes.
Running
from the smoke.
That's, well, I can't say anything because I had COVID the day after the Super Bowl. So I can't make those jokes. But ugly yesterday from the 49ers.
Yeah, this is tough, man. Like, there's a lot to kind of pick apart here. They looked brilliant the first 14 minutes of the game.
Man.
Like, just surgical. Mm-hmm. And, man, that went to hell really quickly. And Like, I don't think there's anything to be, like, overly concerned about, except the defense. Like, the fact that what felt like their strongest suit for years, mm-hmm. now all of a sudden looks like, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And the numbers kind of support that. So it's early. Obviously, Dre Greenlaw is not there. You know, I heard you last night on 95.7 and a little bit with Chris Biederman on Candlestick Chronicles talking about Nick Bosa and mm-hmm. Nick Bosa. You know, he's got to make a bit more of an impact. But yeah, that's tough, man. When you have a double digit lead with, what was it, 6, 7, 8 minutes left?
Less than half a quarter.
Losing's tough, man. Losing, there's no scenario where losing that game is okay.
Nope.
And we were talking about it on Sports Sunday last night. Not one thing happens to cause you to lose a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. Like, a series of things mm-hmm. happens, which means something happens from your defense. And in the 49ers' case, something happens from your special teams. And in their 49ers' case, something happened with their offense. Like, there mm-hmm. was just a domino effect of, you know, the wheels falling off for them. When it felt like when they first got the ball, oh, they're in good shape. They're moving mm-hmm. the ball down the field. Jordan Mason picks up a first down. And then I think they picked up a penalty, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was a Kyle Juszczyk hold.
And that set up a first and 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That took them out of field goal range.
And then you had the missed pass, the dropped pass, I should say, by Ronnie Bell. So
tough look.
Stuff. Yeah.
That's where it felt like the fake punt in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like the Rams got that, and everything you said, the Niners were just surgical the first 14 minutes. First 15 plus, because that happened like halfway through the second quarter.
Yeah.
And then the Rams pick up that 4th and 6, and it was like the Niners all of a sudden couldn't get a stop the rest of the way.
So refresh my memory, because you're better with this. They opened up the second half. They opened up the second quarter. I think they were 3 and out on each side.
Mm-hmm.
Then that fake punt, was that a part of the 87-yard?
Yes. Yeah, that 16 was, plays, that, 87
that was,
yards.
That was very much a, oh.
Yeah.
All right. We got a little something here.
Yep.
And they just stayed there.
And the frustrating thing is, you look at the box score, and the every number says, hey, the 49ers should have won this game.
Yeah.
By
like,
a lot.
Matthew Stafford was good yesterday, but it wasn't like, man, he is just torching these dudes with... No, he was sitting back in the pocket, and he's going, oh, Colby Parkins is wide open. Here's this. Or it's Tyler Johnson over the middle. This is easy.
Yeah.
It's just plugging their way down the field, and it was never a ton of resistance when they needed it. And that's kind of been the hallmark of the 49ers defense for the last few years. It's like, man, they need to stop. They're going to get one.
Yeah, the Chivarius Ward blown coverage was horrible. Yeah. And then the P.I., on
the Adam, yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah, and on the linebacker PI.
Oh, on Devondre Campbell.
Yeah, just horrible, just like inexcusable. Their defensive backfield's a mess, and they're not getting any pressure on the quarterback. They've got some things to figure out, but I also think that they're still one of the better teams in football. They're not that far away.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if their offense is one of the better offenses in football, and we still have some things to figure out on the defensive end.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. as long as I got 54 over there, I'm going to feel pretty good. Mm-hmm. But and he was pretty critical of his team last night. But you said on Friday, Kyle, they're not getting to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just yesterday that they didn't get to Matt mm-hmm. Stafford. It's so far in this first 3 weeks of the season that they're not getting the quarterbacks.
Nope.
And because of that, that's what they did so well last year that minimized a lot of concern about the secondary. The quicker mm-hmm. you get to the quarterback, I think you know what I mean by this. The quicker you get to quarterback, the less your secondary has to work.
Right.
It's a far less mm-hmm. of a concern when you have to, you know, guard your man for 2.5 to 3 seconds. Versus 4.5 to 5.
Right.
And that is a glaring, glaring miss spot mm-hmm. for the San Francisco 49ers right now.
Yeah.
Glaring.
Yeah. They have to fundamentally change what they're doing defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're relying on a defensive line to get pressure. It's like, okay, well, that's not working. So whatever's happening in the back end has to be different. Because right now it's not working. And that goes to, we were talking about Devondre Campbell and the importance of the second level, all that.
They have to find ways to scheme Bosa available.
That he just has to be more impactful, man. Like, he's not bad. That's the thing. He's not playing poorly, but he's playing like a pretty good defensive end.
But can I... So I recognize, like, T.J. Watt just seems to kill it on a day-to-day basis,
yes,
right? But how much of that is because of what the Steelers are doing versus what T.J. Watt is doing?
Sure.
Like, everyone game plans for Nick Bosa. Mm-hmm. Every single football team the 49ers play, game plan for Nick Bosa. Nick Sorensen, Kyle Shanahan, somebody, John Lynch, for God's sake, somebody mm-hmm. needs to come up with a plan to counter that
yep.
and allow Nick Bosa to get a little freedom and get moving there, because they're game planning for him and it's working.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're 3-for-3 this year.
Getting freedom is one of Nick Bosa's very favorite things, I hear. D'Lo and KC coming up next.
Yeah.
On 1320. James and I will be back tomorrow with the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center. Bye.